Take your Bibles, please. Turn with us to the book of Galatians, the third chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Third chapter, we're going to start reading at verse number 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Let us pray. Father, again today I thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. I thank you so much, Father, for the privilege of reading it, for studying it today. And Father, once again, we need your power, we need your wisdom. And Lord, I ask you, Lord, to take the Word into our hearts and do with it as you see fit today. Help us, Lord, to just be what we should be. Lord, help us to mind you to do what the Holy Spirit of God teaches us this morning and convicts us about. Oh God, help us. Should there be anyone unsaved in this place today, let it be the day of salvation. And Father, I just pray that the perfect, wonderful will of God be done. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach a message this morning basically out of verse number 1 where he called them foolish Galatians. And if you'll kind of go down there with me, he says, who hath bewitched you? He asked them, who's fooled you? Why are you going back under the law when you began in faith? This was what was happening here to the Galatian churches. And so he asked him that question, and then he made a statement, and basically this is what we're going to be preaching about this morning. He said, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified from among you. He basically was simply telling them that they were not obeying the truth. Jesus Christ had been set forth for who he is before them. They knew who he was. They knew the truth. And what was happening was they was slipping back under the law, putting themselves back under the bondage of the law instead of simple by faith. A person that's going to get saved is going to get saved by faith, not through the doing or the working of the law. He's going to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, not just about him with a head belief, but with a belief of faith in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary, realizing and understanding that they are sinners, lost, hopelessly lost. That's the step you have to come to, realizing you're lost. That's what happened to me in 1966. I realized I was lost. I was religious before. I went to church. I did all those things. But I didn't truly have true faith in Christ. My faith was not in him, it was more in myself, trying to live good and get to heaven because of it, or through the church, maybe being baptized, things like that was where my heart was at. But in 1966, I heard the preaching of the Word of God, and I think for the first time I had ever heard it that away, the way the Bible said it, that we was just old lost sinners, hopelessly lost, in need of a wonderful Savior who had already paid the cost for us. And that Savior is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Well, what had happened here, they had begun to fall back under the principles of the law. They had to do this, they had to do that, rather than just by faith. And I might say to you, you know, Christians, if we don't be careful, we're going to believe false doctrines such as this, slipping back underneath the law. If we don't be careful, if we don't keep our eyes on the Savior. That's what he said there. He says, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. He was telling them, you knew about Christ. You knew that he died on the cross. You knew he was crucified. He was buried and he rose again. You knew this. But yet you're walking away from the truth of faith and you're walking back under the law. I believe this. I believe sinners that are lost. I'd be truthful. In 1966, I had never really truly heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'd been in church most of my life. But I'd never heard the truth of the gospel of Christ, that I was a sinner. And let me say something to you folks. If you don't get somewhere where you get under the preaching of the Word of God, the true preaching of the Word of God, there's going to be no conviction in your life. There wasn't in mine. Until I finally got a place where they began to preach the Word of God to me and tell me that I was an old sinner lost and I was going to hell, I was heading for hell, but there was a wonderful Savior who loved me and wanted to save me. Thank God for that wonderful, wonderful message, you see. What I want to do is just this morning, just for a little while, I want to show you that Jesus Christ can be right before our eyes and yet not be seen. Multitudes and multitudes of people have heard the gospel. They've read it and still unsaved. Jesus Christ can be before you and you can hear it and you can reject it. You can turn it aside and not be saved. You understand what I'm saying? You see, you look at Christ. And you look at the people in the times before us. You look at the old prophets of the Old Testament. And you find that they came and they brought the Word of God. And they preached the Word of God to a lost people. Multitudes of those people never understood, never believed the Word of God. Although it was preached to them. Although they heard it. You see, over in the book of Matthew, you find the talking about the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Wise men, the Bible said, come to see him. They visit him. And let me say to you, a wise man will come to Christ. No doubt about it. The shepherds came, you know, that night of his birth. They come and saw him and believed that this was the Messiah that was sent. You go and you find Simeon waiting there in the temple for Jesus Christ when he was brought to the temple, and he said, I've seen the consolation of Israel, or the salvation of Israel. He took him up in his arms, and he even told God, he said, God, you had promised me that I would not die until I'd seen the consolation of Israel. And he said, now I've seen him, so take me on home. He believed. He saw Christ and believed. He understood. And right after that happened, there was a lady by the name of Anna, who also saw him and recognized him and said, this is the Messiah, and believed upon him. And of course, through her belief and trust, you could see that her belief was in Christ and what Christ had done and all this and what he was going to do. And he was the coming Messiah, and she believed it. Folks, people don't have to reject this thing. You can believe if you will. You can accept it. Jesus Christ is put forth. He's the Son of God, you see. When he went into the temple when he was 12 years of age, the multitudes heard him and was amazed and astonished at his answers that he gave those wise men supposedly of Israel in that time. But they didn't believe. They didn't believe. He was sitting there. He was the Messiah right before them, and yet they did not believe. And he gave them all of those wonderful answers. And he questioned them. And yet they did not believe. What I'm saying, Jesus Christ can be in the presence and you still cannot believe. He can be presented and people not believe. There at his baptism, what a wonderful time at his baptism it was. And The Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove. And John the Baptist had been told that this would happen, and he would see the Holy Spirit light upon him. And John the Baptist believed, but let me tell you something. There was others who did not. There was those who just simply turned it down. You see, even in Christianity today, there's such a thing. You know, we heard it. Brother Abel and I heard it yesterday. There's those who want to say, you know, I'm going to get to heaven my way. I'm going to do the best I can. And you hear this all the time, and it's so sad because you can't do good enough to get to heaven. It's an impossibility. Jesus has done it all. You can't add anything to him. Faith and trust must be completely in him. But that can be presented, and people can still reject. Right before our eyes, we see it, we hear it, and yet reject the truth of the Word of God. So there was those at his baptism who did not believe. Jesus healed a blind man. And that blind man become healed, and he recognized the fact that there was a person who healed him. He said, I was blind. He said, the only thing I can tell you, I was blind, but now I see. I want to tell you something. Back in 1966, I was blind, but now I see. Can I explain it? No, I can't explain it all. All I can tell you is I put my faith, my trust in Christ. I now see. I now understand. But they practically put this man on trial. I mean, they was questioning him. They was wondering, who was it that healed you? And they was giving him a horrible time. Why? They didn't believe. And yet they saw Jesus Christ heal the blindness of his eyes. And they would not receive it. Do you understand what I'm saying? It can be right before you. You can see, you can read, you can understand these things and see them and yet still turn it down. Not recognize him for who he truly is. He healed on the Sabbath day. And they accused him of breaking the law. He was not breaking the law, but instead of saying, look what he done to that withered hand. Look what Jesus done. That withered hand was healed. Instead of saying that, they accused him of healing on the Sabbath day. You've done terrible. You broke the law. Right there and saw the great miracles of God and still refused him. Amen. Judas was a great example of that. Judas walked with him. Judas saw him, spent time with him. He was one of the chosen in the ministry. Somewhere around the 3 years, walked with him, saw his miracles, heard him talk, heard him say wonderful things, heard him do tremendous things, and saw him raise the dead, do all of those things, and yet he didn't believe. You see, people can just turn it down. Jesus Christ can be right before you. You can see it. He's presented to you, and you can just turn it down. Amen? He cast out demons, and they accused him of doing it in the name of Satan or Beelzebub. I mean, they saw those demons cast out of him. That man, that little boy that day, he had been throwing himself into the fire and doing all kinds of things. And he was healed. The demons come out of him. But they wouldn't believe. Right before their eyes, they saw it. And they wouldn't believe. He raised people from the dead. He raised Lazarus from the dead. And thank God, in the raising of Lazarus, there was multitude that was saved. Multitudes saw it and believed and was saved, but there was others who did not. He raised that widow of Nain's son, and there was people who saw it, witnessed it, but others refused it. Even though he raised somebody from the dead. Isn't that amazing? And yet they turned him down. You know, I look at the portion of scripture in the Gospels, And I look at that where he was betrayed. In fact, over in John, let's go to the book of John. 18th chapter of the book of John. I want to read to you something. Listen, in chapter 18. Verse 1, chapter 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kedron, which was a garden unto the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oft times reported thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. You know, I read that and I can picture that in my mind. All he done was say, I am he. They all fell backwards to the ground. And yet they still didn't believe. Oh, hard hearts that would not believe that Jesus was who he said he was. You can just go through the scriptures. You can just over and over and go through where Christ was crucified and read all of those things. And finally, of course, a centurion did say, truly this was the Son of God. Truly this was him. But not most of them didn't believe. They stood and looked up at that cross and would not believe, and they mocked him, fed him vinegar, all kinds of things. He came finally down off of that cross. They took him down. They put him in a tomb, buried him, and then he rose from the dead. Thank God. And they still would not believe. Jesus Christ, let me tell you today, is the Son of God. And he was put upon a cross. He was slain upon that cross. He was taken down and he was put in a tomb. And he rose again, now sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's who he said he was. You can't change it. He's the Son of God, God the Son. And yet multitudes still do not believe. Amen. You see, Jesus was born. He was baptized. Peter, I like what Peter said of him. He said there was no guile in him, no sin. Listen to me. He was God the Son. There was not one sin in him. He never did sin. He never will sin. He was perfect man, perfect God, dying on the cross for imperfect people like you and I. That's who he is. Bible says on that cross he gave up the ghost and he was buried and he rose again. I just want to tell you something. Jesus is exactly who he said he was. I could present him this morning here before your eyes and I can tell you about a wonderful Savior. I can tell you how good he is and how wonderful he is and how he loves you. But you know what? It all comes down to it. We choose. We just choose. Back in 1966, I chose to be saved. I chose to be saved. You choose whether you want to turn it down or not. Amen. You see, I think that there was a lot of people on this earth even that witnessed Jesus Christ. They saw him. They saw him on the cross. They saw him taken down from there. They knew of his resurrection, the truth of the resurrection. They knew about it, but they still would not believe. I believe, and we preachers face it all the time. We stand before our congregations and we preach Christ. We try to tell people how wonderful Jesus is and that he's the Son of God. He died for our sins. He wants to save them and people will not believe. Some will. Some will. But some won't. And again, I say to you folks, oh, what a horrible thing it is to reject Christ. Amen. Listen to me for a few moments. You see, the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now, whether you understand it or not, that one, no, not one, means everybody. I'm included in that, but so are you. There is none righteous, none whatsoever. There are none that's done good enough to get to heaven. You haven't done good enough to go meet Jesus one of these days. You and I are sinners, lost. That's our condition. We're condemned already, according to the Bible. So there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible even says there's none that understandeth. Folks, we can't even understand unless God gives us the understanding. We don't understand it all. We want to figure it all out in our own head, what this thing's all about. But we can't figure it out. We can't do it. It's God that must reveal this to us. The Bible even says there's none that seeketh God. You know, this is amazing, because we think we're seeking after God. I've heard people say that. We're seeking after God. What you don't understand is you're not seeking after God. He's seeking you. He's calling you. You're not seeking God. The Bible says there's none that seeketh God. He's seeking you. He wants you to come to Him. Amen. That's the Son of God, you see. And let me say also to you, there is no other God but the one, the true, the living God. There is none other but Him. I don't care what the cults say. I care what they say. I wish they wouldn't say it. But it doesn't make any difference what they say. There's only one true God, one true living God. And that's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There is none other, you see. Not only that, there's only one God, and only He can provide salvation. Folks, listen. This plan of salvation is not yours or not mine. It is God's plan of salvation. It's Him that has made the plan. It's Him that has done everything possible so that you and I could be saved. You didn't have a thing to do with it, and I didn't either. It's God's plan, you see. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Do you understand that Jesus Christ is the only name, not Buddha, not Mr. Moon, not all the rest of these false prophets, but it's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and only His name and through His name can you be born again. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. None whatsoever. Amen. Did you know that Christ is the foundation of our faith? If you're not on Christ, if you're not on the foundation, which is Jesus Christ, it's the only foundation that can be laid, and that's Jesus Christ. If you're not on that foundation, you're on a foundation of sand, and it will not hold. You see, we had a dear brother that just slipped off to heaven. I don't have to question where he's at. I don't have to even one moment question. You know why? Christ was his foundation. That's the only foundation that you can build your life on, build your eternity on, is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There is no other way. Jesus says, I am the door. There is no other door to heaven except Jesus Christ. You can't go through all these other ways. Good works, baptism, cults. None of those will get you to heaven. Jesus is the door of heaven. Jesus is the way of salvation. You want a way of life? Jesus says, I am the way of salvation. There is no other way of salvation. Boy, mark it off. You say, I don't believe that. Then you don't believe the Bible. You don't believe what Jesus says. Jesus said, I am the way. And he said, I'm also the truth. All truth is based in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. All these other things are lies. Jesus is the truth. And he is the life. Eternal life. He's the only way you'll ever get eternal life. It's through Jesus Christ. Amen. I had religion, folks. It didn't do anything for me. It gave me no peace of mind and peace of heart whatsoever. I had religion. I was in church. I joined church. I was baptized. And lost as I could be. But then came the Savior and sought me out and brought me unto Himself. And I had to come to that place where I said, Lord, I'm just that old sinner you said I am. All of sin comes short of glory of God, right? Right? All of us, amen? Well, I had to realize I was one of them, amen? And I realized Jesus was the only way, the only Savior. I called upon him and asked him to save me and to give me eternal life and literally turn my life around. 4 years later, he called me to preach. That has nothing to do with salvation, but 4 years later, he called me to preach. But he gave me new life in Christ, a joy that's impossible to understand or explain. Amen? It's a change inside that happens. I can't explain it to you. I can't tell you all that how it all happens, but it's a wonderful, precious thing that God does in you, and the Holy Spirit of God comes in to live and seal you for eternity. That no one can take you out of the hand of God. You're His forever. Amen. So Jesus is the way. He's the only truth. And He's the life. He's the way of eternal life. See, you can't have eternal life except you have it through Christ. See, wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's eternal life. Amen. The only way you're going to get eternal life is through Him. You see, it's a wonderful message that this book has. It's a message, first of all, about God. It tells us about Him. Tells us what He's done for us. Tells us how wonderful He is and how powerful He is. You can't explain God, I want to tell you right now. You go out of a night and you look up and you see what we see, and then you hear these Hubble telescopes and they look farther than that and they still can't see the end of all of it. And then God's throne's all on the other side of it. People want to try to explain all these things. They can't explain them. It's impossibility to explain God. But that message of the Bible is about God, and it's about man and his condition. Folks, man is in a lost condition. We're condemned already. Understand me? That's what the Bible says. We're condemned. Something has to happen. You say, well, Brother Ross, I had to do something pretty terrible for God to condemn me. No, you're already condemned. You and I both are. Why? Because we have not believed upon the name of the only begotten Son. It's the only way you're going to get uncondemned is believe upon Christ. Faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's not your works, folk. You can't do it by your works. You can't get it done. Job won't get done. It's got to be faith in Christ. The Bible is about salvation. What Jesus done, how He died on the cross and provided salvation for us. Amen. It's free. You don't have to do anything for it. All you have to do is receive it. Amen. And it's also about hell. There is a hell. Bible says there is. There's a lake of fire forever and ever and ever. Bible says if our name is not written up in the Lamb's book of life, we'll be cast into the lake of fire. And that lake of fire is eternal. You say, well, I don't believe it. Well, you don't believe the Bible. It's what the Bible teaches. I've heard it so many times. I don't believe a godly or a great God would send anybody to hell. He's not. You're sinning yourself. He's given you the great opportunity to receive His Son and escape hell. See, He don't want you to go to hell. That's why He provided salvation for you. Amen? But I want to tell you something. I believe in hell, but thank God I believe in heaven also. I heard a man say yesterday, I asked him, he was 100% sure if he died, he knew he'd go to heaven. And he said, no, but I'm 100% sure I wouldn't go to hell. I never heard an answer like that before. Kind of got me, you know. But he was lost. Come to find out, it's dealing with him. He was lost. He didn't know anything about salvation. He was all on works and trying to do the best he could and everything. But it don't work that way, folks. You got to be born again. Except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. Now, will you listen to what God said? Except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. He means if you're not born again, you will not go to heaven. But thank God, there's a way you can. You see, the same way this old preacher and multitudes of others have gotten saved is by simply realizing we're old sinners lost. That's our condition. And that Jesus Christ, the wonderful Son of God, died for us, provided that salvation for us. We're willing to call upon Him, put our faith and trust completely in Him, not in the church, not in the preacher, not in baptism, not in anybody else, but Jesus. But our faith and trust in Him alone, the Bible teaches, He'll give us eternal life forever and ever and ever. It's the only way you're going to get it. Now let me just say something to you. Listen to this preacher a moment. One of the hardest things for man to do, because the Bible teaches we all have got a lot of pride. It takes humility to look to God and say, God, I'm a sinner. No, not just a little sinner. God, I am a sinner just like you said I am. All of my righteousness is as filthy rags. That's what God says. That takes humility. You don't have to understand all things. All you need to understand is you're a sinner and that Jesus is the Savior. And He's willing to save you and give you eternal life if you'll just call upon Him and ask Him. That's pretty good. You can't beat that. See, it don't cost you a thing. You couldn't pay for it. Nothing you can give. It's already been provided. So I'm just saying to you, I want to ask you a question. The same one I asked that gentleman yesterday. If you died today, are you 100% sure that you would go to heaven? You answer that in your own heart. Are you sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? You say, Brother Ross, I'm not sure about that. I'm just not sure. Then you need to put your faith and trust in Christ and be born again. You need to trust Him, the only one that can give you salvation. Is Christ and Christ alone. Amen. Now there's folks out here, I'm sure, that are saying, you know I'm saved. I know I'm ready for heaven. Why? Because there was a time when I put my faith and trust in Christ. It's not because of your works, is it? No, not nothing good that you've done. No. It's what Christ has done. But when He said there must be a time when you're born again, that's a period of time, that's a time in your life when you're born again. I was born August the 15th, 1939. If you want to figure that up real quick, it's 63 years. 1939. I was born physically. You can see me. You know I was born once. I know you was born once. I see you out there. But I can't look into your heart and see whether you've been born again. But God can. And God bears witness through the Spirit of God that we are His children. There ought to be a bearing witness in you that you absolutely are a child of God. There'd been a time when you was born again. All I know, I can't tell you the exact day, but it was in April of 1966. I did not write down the date that I got saved, but I know the month. It was in April of 1966 when I was born again. There ought to be a time when you know that you come to Christ, not just that you kind of grew into it. You don't grow into birth. It happens. Okay? So I'm just asking a question. Has there been a time in your life when you've truly been born again? You know if you died, you'd go to heaven. If not, I'm going to give the invitation here in just a few moments. Take the opportunity. Please take the opportunity to let this be your birthday. The day when you've put your faith and trust in Christ, and you'll be ready for heaven. If death comes today, if death comes tomorrow, you'll be ready. You don't have to worry about it. Brother Forrest Alley went to heaven because of Jesus. I think Forrest Alley was a fine man, but he didn't go to heaven because he was a fine man. He was a fine man because he was born again. Amen? So I'm just asking you, has there been that day in your life when you know for sure that you've been born again? If not, I'm just going to invite you. We've done our best to present Jesus Christ before your eyes this morning. I presented Him to you. It's up to you whether you'll receive Him or not. Amen. You'll make that choice. And my desire is that you'd make the right one. you'd ask Christ to save you. We're going to have those standing right up front. We invite you to come. We'll take the Bible and go through it with you. It does not take lengthy time, but we'll just show you how to be saved. And let me say something. I believe that God the Holy Spirit is dealing this morning, working this morning. If he's working on your heart, please mind him. Please do what he says. Please come. Let us pray. Father, thank you again today for your wonderful grace and your goodness and your kindness. And once again, Lord, we extend the invitation to these dear folk today. Lord, if there's those here that, Lord, that are not sure of salvation, please, Lord, let this be the day they get it settled. They don't want to go to hell. God, don't let them go to hell. Father, help them to be prepared to go to heaven. And Lord, we can only do that through your Son. And I pray they'll admit this morning that they're sinners in need of Christ. And we just turn this over to you to please have your will and way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.